So let's go through the rest of your cases, maybe, kind of try to do it a little more brief so we can kind of get through them all because they look like really great cases. And I'd like to hear about your 25-year-old patient.
So my area of research expertise is in FLT3 mutations and FLT3 inhibition in the treatment of patients with AML. So this to me is not an uncommon story in my practice. This patient presented with gingival hyperplasia, leukocytosis, fatigue so that he couldn't do his work. CBC was drawn, white count very elevated. And when I hear this story, just boom, my spidey sense for FLT3 mutation goes off. If we look at everybody with AML, particularly in patients under the age of 60, because FLT3 mutations are more common in younger patients than older, though we can see them at any age. About a third of patients under the age of 60 are going to have a FLT3 mutation, with about three-quarters of those being FLT3 ITD and about a quarter of them being a tyrosine kinase domain or TKD mutation, usually at position D835. And it's the FLT3 ITD that is the one that I really worry about, because that's the mutation that's associated with the higher relapse rate and poor survival if the patient either doesn't respond to induction or relapses after prior remission. Very poor survivals for anyone who has relapsed or refractory disease. And so our approach here is, again, we want to quickly get a young patient with acute leukemia diagnosed, worked up, and started on therapy. This is not somebody that we're dilly-dallying with in the outpatient setting. We quickly get them into the inpatient setting so that we, particularly if anybody has any bleeding tendencies or bruising, has any DIC presentation, we can stabilize that, get diagnostics off, and get them started on intensive chemotherapy with curative intent. If we see that there is a FLT3 mutation, then we err on the side of giving those patients a FLT3 inhibitor as part of frontline therapy. And when I say a FLT3 inhibitor, the standard right now is midostaurin, based on randomized data that improves survival based on the RATIFY study that compared it to placebo. Now, that being said, there's a lot of interest in drugs that are both more potent at inhibiting FLT3 and also more selective at inhibiting FLT3. And there's a number of studies that are ongoing right now and drugs that have been approved in the past year that do that. What's different about those drugs? What's different about those drugs is they work as single agents, whereas midostaurin as a single agent sort of was like hydroxyurea. It would control the white count. It wouldn't do very much to the bone marrow blast. Patients might have felt a little bit better when they were on the medicine, but they still didn't go into remission with any regularity at all. They did not see complete remissions on that study. And all of the newer drugs that have more potency have induced complete remission in at least a subset of patients. And with the recently approved drug, gilteritinib, actually about 20% of patients with relapsed or refractory disease will go into a full CR with blood count recovery, and that's head and shoulders above what any other FLT3 inhibitor has done. And about half of patients treated with that drug in the relapse refractory setting will have a reduction in bone marrow blast to less than 5% with variable amounts of blood count recovery and generally feel quite well. So the new FLT3 inhibitors are very exciting, but we don't yet have frontline data to say that they're better than midostaurin. So that's a clinical trial that, a lot of centers are looking at getting open, is comparing midostaurin added to 7+3 versus a newer FLT3 inhibitor. And another drug that's on the horizon that you should pay attention to is a drug called quizartinib, because it's been looked at in the relapsed and refractory setting. But there's also a frontline study comparing the addition of quizartinib rather than midostaurin to frontline therapy, like the RATIFY study compared to placebo. It's an older trial. And that's supposed to read out probably in the next year. It's fully enrolled now. So who knows? We may have more FLT3 inhibitors available in the frontline setting, either on trials or if the quizartinib study is positive, maybe even as standard therapy. So that's something that we want to offer our patients is enrollment in a trial with this disease to see whether they can benefit from newer therapy over standard therapy. But with a FLT3 mutation, whether it's an ITD or a TKD, we really do think that 7+3 is not enough. They should get 7+3 and a FLT3 inhibitor from day one.